let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Your home is important. That's why Geico helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The Geico Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie JJ Johnston. I'm joined by Mike and Scotty today.
Woo! Happy E3!
It is E3!
It's like Christmas for us. My god, this day's already hurt the wallet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, okay, pre-ordering that. Oh, and that, just take all my money.
Oh my god.
I'm waiting for Amazon.ca to put up the Pip-Boy edition.
Good luck, because they're already sold out.
Yeah, so, it's okay. So as you guys can guess, this episode is about E3 this year. This is our day one coverage. Well, technically, is it actually day one?
Yeah.
Considering there was stuff yesterday.
Well, that's pre-E3, though.
Yeah, that was pre-E3. That was sort of like pre-drinking before the real drinking.
Yeah, well, it was Fireball before.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at Geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Before you get to the good whiskey.
My god, so, this has been a fantastic. I cannot remember an E3 where I've been this excited, this happy about something.
Yep,
and it's so weird because you think about the gaming industry, there's been this cloud hanging over us for the better part of a year as a community. It's almost like that went away entirely today. Almost.
You mean that cloud where it's just like, oh, another game. Don't really care.
Well, it's more like, this game is X, and it doesn't represent X, and we're not going to mention that person, but was already going off on Twitter last night about Fallout 4. Because, I don't know, the main reason I'm bringing this up is because I actually got excited enough for Fallout 4. I started playing Fallout 3 last night.
That's what I was going to do today, is play New Vegas a bit.
And this person, I'm not going to mention them by name, they're like, can we not make something in a game that that doesn't have to kill someone? Like, it's Fallout 4! What the fuck do you expect?
Shit, I think I saw someone post. Did they post it on your Facebook?
Yep. And I'm like, you motherfucker. I'm like, seriously.
Wait, where you don't have to kill something?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, utility like items would be cool.
There's plenty of games out there that are like that. That's not what we're looking for at E3 right now, though.
And this person...
Someone Fallout 4 is supposed to be, though. It's not Friend exactly. Simulator. It's fucking Post-Apocalypse Simulator.
Exactly. The goal is to live with your dog and your robot. I mean, just fuck off. And then the person got all pissy because Dishonored 2, I think, has a girl...
Killing in it?
Well, no, it has a girl protagonist, but you're not playing exclusively as them the whole game. I'm like, fuck, I don't care, as long as the game's cool.
Oh my god.
It's one thing, it's another, we're done talking about it. We gotta talk about the big thing yesterday, which was the most unexpectedly intense thing I've seen in a long time.
Video Armageddon.
It was totally expected.
I didn't think it'd be that intense. I expected it to be okay. But
me too, when I tuned in.
Like, when they started playing, what was it? I tuned in just at the end of Splatoon, because I couldn't get the stream working on my Xbox. But when they got to the final three
watching something Nintendo on Xbox.
Yeah.
Let it.
I was actually really surprised it wasn't an option to watch it on Nintendo's thing. Like they don't have a dedicated E3 app or something. But anyway.
I have to give props to YouTube, though. They've done pretty decent like stuff going on with this whole
YouTube's coverage has been the best because it's been the most stable. Xbox's core services were down for a chunk this afternoon. So much so I had to watch almost all my press coverage on my PlayStation 4 today. And I didn't experience one hiccup the entire day. And EA streamed derped about three quarters of its way through. To talk about Nintendo, when they started playing Mario Kart, things started getting intense. When one of the elimination challenges was Super Metroid and Balloon Fight, of all the games you could possibly pick, intense as shit. And then when Mario Maker, Super Mario Maker hit the screen. Literally, now, last night was a WWE pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, one of the most important ones of the year. I postponed watching that for an hour and a half because of Nintendo.
Because of Mario Maker.
It was, oh my god. Well, I couldn't believe how, like the one jump that kid had to make on that level with all the escalators or whatever the fuck
it was. Holy shit, that was so nuts.
I was like, go, 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 and then the stupid red turtle kills him. Ah! And then, it was so intense. Like, my God. That was esports level intensity right there.
Well, I mean,
I thought
was
I was watching the Wizard, man.
Yeah, but it was unlike, I don't know, it was different somehow. I mean, like, literally, it felt like the fucking Wizard.
It was euphoric watching, like, just that childhood, like, holy, you saw something you've never seen before, and you saw someone doing something you didn't expect had to be done to do what needed to be achieved. It's like when you're a kid and you see something happen for the first time, like that secret you were told about, and you're like, holy shit, this is working. It's like that kind of level. Like I felt like a young kid, like seeing my friend play Mario for the first time.
Like it was just so amazing. And then Miyamoto came out and personally thanked that kid.
Oh, like, that 3DS man.
That's going to end up on eBay so quick. I would. What do you want for it? 10 grand? Yep.
I would not. No way.
Oh, my God. The terrible, terrible things that I would do if I had that. But still.
I don't know, man. That's a pretty priceless object.
Although,
you could at least get 40 grand for it.
Realistically, you could probably get 20 for something like that.
Excuse Mike, me. Stop smoking the reefer, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Coughing on the mic.
Start smoking the reefer, you'll feel better.
Another thing that happened out of Nintendo Direct yesterday was all the Smash announcements. Ryu, Roy, Lucas, all available yesterday.
See?
And new stages. So impressive.
Roy and Lucas, I could see that. When you told me Ryu, because I didn't get to see this part, I was like, what?
Well, he's supposed to be one of the more technical fighters because if you do his Street Fighter movesets, he'll do more damage and the animations change, which is really impressive. Now, I haven't had a chance to download this just yet, hopefully sometime later on this week. But wow, Nintendo did a really good job yesterday before their own E3 presser, which is tomorrow morning, I think at 10 o'clock Eastern. Or Pacific time,
Pacific, yeah. So lunchtime for us.
What else did you guys see out of today? Well, I guess we should probably just go through each of them. Let's go to Microsoft's. The big All elephant right. in the room, backwards compatibility on Xbox 360. In my opinion, this is one of the strongest announcements Microsoft could have possibly made, and it was a direct attack on Sony.
Well, what was super exciting is your entire digital library is there. Like, your digital library, so all my arcade games think I got digitally, I can just go and download where my apps are on my Xbox One.
Oh, yeah, and the and your cloud saves will carry over.
Yeah, and with the discs, what they're saying, you put it in and you can just install the game. So I'm not sure if I'm going to need, like, the DRM kind of thing, or if it's like, no, you just install it and then it's there.
Because
you don't play off the disc. You just install it.
I could see you needing the disc to authenticate it.
It'll probably be like there was the odd game on the Xbox 360, like say Final Fantasy XI way back when. You had to have the disc in there, and it would spin it like once every 15 minutes just to double check that the disc was there.
Well, every game you had to use the disc on the 360, though. But I just mean, just the way they talk about it, all they said to him is like, "Yeah, we can read 360 discs. So what all you have to do is put it in, and then you can download the game."
Yeah, like I really wonder how that's gonna go through. In fact, I know.
But at this rate, who's making money off 360 games anymore? Like, just not GameStop. New games. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, this generation of consoles is finally winding down. You'll see the last of the 360 games come out this year and very, very early next.
Yeah,
I find it's pretty contradictory to the fact that they're doing, like, remakes or, like, remasters of, like, so the Halo Master Chief Collection, the Gears of War Collection that they're going to be doing. Like, it seems pretty contradictory to do that because that's the only reason people would buy those is... Hey, I want to play those old games. Oh, now you can. So why buy the new remastered?
Because I want remastered versions of it that look better.
And
I will not play Gears of War 1 on the 360 anymore. It looks like shit. I'd rather play it a remastered version of it.
But there's a large portion of people that don't care what it looks
like.
Yeah,
but come on. You're going to get multiplayer again with Gears? That's what a lot of people buy it for.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to hurt it at all.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think also because with the Gears remastered, you're getting extra content that was exclusive to the PC. Plus,
as long as at launch its multiplayer works, then we're good.
Yeah, pretty friggin' much.
Yeah.
another thing that Xbox really did well with this, too, is they showed off a good chunk of Halo 5 Guardians, which I think that looks better and better all the time. The fact that they brought back characters from previous games, such as Buck from ODST.
Firefly.
Or Firefly, more or less. It's Captain Mal in an ODST outfit. I thought that was pretty good. Forza 6, it's Forza, whatever. It looks great.
We never have anyone on the show with the opinion of racing games, they're awesome. No, it's just
they can be fun. I mean, but like in general, it's like there's a new Forza game almost every 6 months. They've so milked that franchise. I remember when between Forza 1 and Forza 2 was such a big period. It was like whoa, and then even a decent time between 2 and 3. But now it's like Forza 5. Then we got Forza Horizons, Forza Horizons 2. The Fast and Furious, Forza Horizon.
Yeah, it's
like that's the last 2 years we've had.
Yeah, man, it's just a lot of cut and paste and a lot of racing games. I consider them like they're good games in and of themselves, but they're meant there to test hardware. Forza games will look better than almost any other game on that console.
Oh yeah, they're just tech demos in a sense. They're crazy tech demo. I enjoy them from time to time. But I mean, yeah, just Forza in general, it's like, okay, it's like almost every 6 months, like, I can't really get too excited about it. But what I was super stoked for was Rare Replay.
Yes, that looks legit.
So, what, their entire, well, obviously not, we're not getting Donkey Kong 64 in here.
Or GoldenEye.
I was like, if GoldenEye was on there, that'd be in.
Well, it's an awesome price, too, because you're getting 30 games for $30.
I don't know, I don't think... Honestly, GoldenEye is one of the best games of its time, but if you ever gone back to play it on the N64, it's not aged well.
No, like, not at all.
So let me see. I'm just trying to find a list of all the things that were announced.
I just want to play Cameo again.
I'm looking forward to playing the Viva Pinata stuff, actually, because those games...
Oh, we can play together!
Oh my god, that's going to be so much fun, too. That's
I love Viva Pinata, man.
One of the things, that I saw, too, that I thought was really, really, really neat was the new Rare pirate game, Sea of Thieves. That looks cool.
Well, I'm curious if on this Rare disc, if we're going to, because one thing I was thinking about, we're getting Conker's Bad Fur Day. Are we also going to get Live and Reloaded on there, too?
I'd imagine we'll probably just get the original. But wasn't Live and Reloaded, wasn't that ported to Xbox Live Arcade?
I think it was.
So,
no, it was an Xbox Originals that I think. I don't think it got ported to Xbox Live Arcade.
I'm not sure.
Well, even if it did, like Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie did as well, and we're getting those.
Yeah.
So I'm...
Another game that came out, and I'd like to know more about this. All we saw was a CG trailer for it. ReCore. And that's the game where the girl has the robot dog. She gets her ass kicked, and then the dog takes over this giant mech. Looks interesting. I honestly, at first, I thought it was like a new friggin' Star Wars game or a new kind of Borderlands. But pleasantly surprised there. And that's from the people who did Metroid Prime and a Japanese guy whose name I can't pronounce. But I know he's very, very influential. Another thing that we saw... This honestly surprised the hell out of me. Xbox One will have Fallout 4 with mods.
That, I was like, what? I wonder if we're, because you know how modding community later on starts putting, like, texture packs, like new texture packs, like Ultra HD texture packs and such. I wonder if we're going to get to see that as well later on.
I don't know. I'm still curious as to how they're going to do that, just because of the way that like their network works. And well, generally, Microsoft is very greedy and charges for everything from the people that are uploading things.
Well, as far as I know, it's on the Bethesda side, because Bethesda's, I think it was Howard Phillips, I want to say the name was.
Todd Howard.
He said on the YouTube gaming stream, they have to get the workshop up and going first. So it'll probably go through Bethesda, and I imagine certain mods will have to be approved by Bethesda, but they're generally pretty good with their stuff. I mean, if you look at all the stuff that happened with Skyrim and Fallout,
Well, that was all on Steam's end, too, because of Steam Workshop. That's what I'm wondering, because they mentioned Valve a little bit. I wonder if Steam Workshop-y stuff.
Yeah.
Because they talked about Valve a few times during the conference, so I don't know if that's kind of an inkling, and then talking about mods, which... on PC, your mods are going through Steam Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm unsure if that we get like the creme de la creme of that.
Another thing I think that is really neat, if you buy Fallout 4 within the first 90 days, you get Fallout 3 for free. I hope includes all the DLC. It would be nice if it was the Game of the Year edition.
It has to at this point, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason not to.
Well, that was one question that came up during the Xbox Live or the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility stuff. Will our DLC work? In theory, it should. In theory, but will we have to pay for it again? But I guess...
Well, they're emulating just the 360
interface,
so I mean, I'm guessing it's checking purchases and stuff.
Yeah, but so yeah, it should cross compatible. It should cross check with your kind of licenses that you currently have.
It'd be kind of funny if it just grandfathered you into it. It's like, oh, you're putting in this disc. All right, all the DLC's there.
See, I'm most concerned about my like Mass Effect stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
But it should work because Rock Band 4 will have every song you've already pre-purchased there. It'll just automatically work, which. Rock Band 4 is the only game that I've pre-ordered so far, in addition to Halo 5 and Batman. But Batman doesn't count at this point, really.
Unless you're Sony and you want to use E3 time to show Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weird thing. I'm like, they're exclusive missions, but if they're anything like the Joker missions from the first game...
The throwaways.
Yeah, it's a lot of who cares, you'll be done these in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I'm interested. Why not?
The first one was really fun. It was an unexpected game. It's really good.
We saw a little bit more of this showing during EA's press conference, which was frankly mostly a snore fest. But I've got a story about the stream on there, though, so we'll get to that. Dark Souls 3, honestly, I don't care.
I've always been curious about the Dark Souls franchise, so maybe...
Oh, you haven't played this guy?
No, I just never have. I was like, I'll get to it eventually.
Demon's Souls and Dark Souls were really good. Dark Souls 2, I don't know.
Well, I heard the one they just released on next-gen consoles fixed a lot of the bugs.
That's what
I was looking at picking up, because like the Prepare to Die, or whatever the newest one is, that came out on Xbox One and PS4, that version, apparently, they fixed some of the issues, or quite a few of them.
Well, it wasn't even just, like, the issues, is like, kind of the design overall, because it wasn't actually done by the same guys entirely that did Demon's Souls and Dark Souls. Those guys actually did Bloodborne.
Bloodborne, yeah, that's why you say Bloodborne's a true sequel.
And so I don't know, like, is Dark Souls 3 being done by them or by the
it's
guys
being
that
done
did
by
Dark
From
Souls
Software, 2? So... Hmm. I'm unsure if it's the same guys there, because, again, I don't really know too much about that development team.
True.
So I can't really...
Another thing that I'm using Kotaku as my kind of reference point here, guys, if you notice a bit of a pattern. Rainbow Six Siege, October 13th. That looks pretty cool. If you get the Xbox One version, you get Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six Vegas 2 for free with it. I think that's pretty cool.
Those are pretty solid games, too. They are fun games. Especially online. Like, that was a fun tactical online game.
Oh, I had a hell of a time playing Vegas 2 back in the day. I loved it.
I missed that one. The first one I played a shit ton of.
This honestly surprised me, because I thought this would be more of a PS4 thing, because I think it was announced as exclusivity. The Early Access Program, there's a couple of games you can download right now.
Do you know how to access that? I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out how to access that Early Access stuff right now.
I think you have to be a member of the Xbox Preview Program. I am. I have to go look on this console, though, to see if it's still registered to that, because I have had my console replaced a few times. But I do have the software, so I'll have to double-check that. The thing that surprised me out of this is DayZ.
I was
Xbox
like,
One.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that
shit,
pretty much.
Wasn't
was like,
DayZ
okay, this is awesome.
Just kind of glitchy?
Not
as
became
all
a full game. Oh. Well, I'm not sure, because it became a full release instead of just that mod support.
Yeah, basically.
I think they worked it out.
Yeah, now it's a standalone. It's still in beta. It hasn't come out for full retail Dubai. But it's supposed, but there are versions being worked on for Xbox One and PS4. But I seem to remember it being an exclusive to PlayStation 4 last year. So I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not.
I don't know. I've kind of gotten off the DayZ kick ever since Ark came out. The early access. It's basically like
DayZ, but better.
DayZ, but better with dinosaurs. Like, I've been so addicted for the last, like,
well,
week and
they
a
announced
half.
Ark for Xbox One as well.
Yeah, Xbox One and PS4, they're going to be doing that, but it's probably not until, like, I want to say mid next year is when they're thinking about that. Right now, like, these developers have been on top of it. Like, they launched it, and they were not expecting it to be so popular. They got, I think it was like 20 mil or 50 mil within the first, like, 2 days. And they had to go buy a bunch of servers and stuff because they didn't have enough. And, like, they literally patch the game every, like, 3 hours. They update and hotfix stuff. They're adding things in. Once a week, they're adding in, like, large patches where they add in another dinosaur. Like, they are just on top of this shit.
Another thing that was shown on the floor, this comes from the indie side of it. This is the one I'm most invested in. Cuphead. It looks like a fucking old school Disney cartoon.
Yeah, when I saw that, cool. I'm like, take me monies.
It looks amazing. Like, it literally looks like a piece of animation. It plays so smooth. Like, I'm serious. Like, here, take my money now. I hope, man, I would pay for a physical release of that if it came with two, like, vinyl pop figures or something.
That'd be kind of cool.
Like, seriously, it looks amazing. I hope that's a game that sells tremendously well. I'm really impressed with that. There was something, was once again, going back to DayZ, the guy who made DayZ, Dean Hall, was talking about creating a game that isn't a game, and it's called Ion. I have no fucking clue.
That isn't a game.
Yeah. Isn't that called going outside?
It's a game that isn't a game. Give me a frappuccino while I put on my scarf in the middle of summer.
You hipster fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, another thing that we saw that was pretty cool, Scotty and I had mentioned this off the top of the show, the Xbox Elite Wireless Controller.
Yes, please.
It's $150, but...
Is it actually?
It's $150, but when you look at the Pro Controllers from Scuf, or Mad Cats, or any of these Elite-style controllers, you'd be paying that much anyway, plus this is officially licensed, which means if it breaks, there's a return policy for that. Plus, there'll be software updates and everything else. I'm legit going to try and get one of these things. The fact that it's modular, and you can remap it, and they openly say, if you want to tweak it, go ahead. The amount this would improve my Call of Duty game is amazing.
Well, and just imagine even third-party add-ons for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, stuff like Control Freaks. I mean, how they add those little things that add height and kind of grip to your little joysticks. Third-party directional pads. Third-party buttons.
It's legit just a pro controller that Xbox is actually launching. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and
looking at it right now,
like, they've put a lot of thought into it. And I gotta say, like, as a person who plays a lot of competitive gaming now, in terms of at least the Call of Duty shooter scene, I'm really impressed. I can't wait to see how this how this thing feels.
Yeah, well, definitely. The fact that there's, like,
sorry, go ahead. No, you go. Okay, I'll go then. God damn it! I'm trying to remember what I was gonna say. Jesus Christ! Oh, what's neat too is also with this controller, there's an app that's gonna go with it on your phone and stuff, and it's, you change everything, the sensitivity of every button.
Like, wait, from your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is gonna be amazing. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing.
It's coming out October as well.
Yeah, like, this is gonna
$150 is pretty pricey, but at the
same
time,
that's what I was thinking.
If you're a legit, like, pro, either pro gamer or extremely into gaming, like, it's just like buying an accessory or something for your computer if you're a PC gamer.
It's no different than buying a fight stick.
Yeah, like, it's there because you want that extra customization, right? It's not meant for the general populace.
Yeah, like, this is not something you...
I assume you'll have to special order them, too.
You can probably just walk into GameStop or Best Buy and get them.
That's
they probably won't have more than, like, two in stock at a time, though.
I don't know. I don't think so. When you see some of the stuff GameStop will carry, like, how many... at least, depending where you're located. I mean, in Orangeville and stuff, I bet you're going to find one
the store. I could see Best Buy's keeping at least a couple on stock, at least.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. Ooh, I'm just excited. I'm reading a bit more about it, and, like, I'm the kind of guy who buys a controller, and that's the controller I use, like, almost the entire console lifespan. So, I mean, for $150, and the fact that I can map it so I can use these paddles instead of say, oh, hey, I don't want to use the bumpers, because, you know, sometimes it's a little awkward. There's my bumpers.
All right.
Well, I like the idea of getting a game that doesn't allow me to change the controls and change them to what I want. Because there's nothing worse than being in, like, a competitive shooter or something where they're like...
Kind of like COD?
Yeah, where it doesn't have bumper jumper. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's so many competitive reasons why bumper jumper is better than hitting A to jump, and that game has no bumper jumper in any way, shape, or form.
Moving on to the next announcement, which a lot of us knew this was coming, but we already mentioned it. The Rare Collection, which is 30 games for $30. I'm just going to read off the titles, and then we'll respond to them.
Yep.
You get Attic Attack, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, Banjo-Tooie, Battletoads, Battletoads Arcade, Blast Corps.
Ooh, Battletoads.
Cobra Triangle, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Digger T-Rock, Grabbed by the Ghoulies, Gunfight, Jet Force Gemini, Jetpack, Jetpack Refueled, Cameo, Killer Instinct Gold, Night Lore, Lunar Jetman, Perfect Dark, Perfect Dark Zero, RC Pro-Am 1 and 2, Saberwolf, Slalom, Snake Rattle and Roll, Solar Jetman, Underworld, Viva Pinata, and Viva Pinata Trouble in Paradise. Hmm. That is a hell of a collection.
Everything before Battletoads, I'm kind of like, I'm not really sure. I don't really have any experience with any of these games before Battletoads in the timeline, because I'm looking at it from my list is from a chronological timeline. So, but once you start getting into the more recent stuff, like, you got Killer Instinct Gold on here, which, you know, if you already got special edition that came out for the Xbox One.
Then you have an arcade perfect port, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, some of these games, like, some of them I'm going to have, again, I'm looking at these, like, Perfect Dark I bought already on Xbox. Same with Banjo-Tooie. Like, I own a lot of these already, but for $30...
Yeah, I'm not going to
pick it up anyways.
Yeah, because I think that's a fantastic value.
Oh, wait. I'm just looking at some of these. Okay, I was just trying to look at multiplayer and stuff. I thought they got rid of some of the online support for certain games, but no, they did not.
Although for Viva Pinata, because it did have the Xbox Live camera support, any games that have Xbox USB support will not work, such as Guitar Heroes won't work. So, stuff like that, you are losing out a few features, but that's not to be unexpected.
Trouble in Paradise, the whole feature with the camera, because I have it, and I bought the camera, is you basically get codes offline, like QR codes, to unlock. Like, here's a free pet, so you don't have to work on it, kind of thing. It's nothing, like,
game-breaking. Yeah. Another one that we saw a trailer, not any real gameplay, Rise of the Tomb Raider. It looks really cool. I'm pretty excited for this, actually. And I think this comes out towards the end of the year, I think.
I really enjoyed the last Tomb Raider game, so I have some high expectations for this one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to try out the Tomb Raider. I really should have.
It's really good. Like, I'm really impressed.
I was surprised how good it was. I impulse bought it, and I do not regret buying it.
I got it sent to me for review, and I didn't review it till like a month or two later just because I was so swamped. I couldn't put that game down. Like, I was really impressed with it. Moving on.
We'll pick it up.
This surprised the fuck out of me. Xbox HoloLens.
Oh my god.
My god. I never gave a fuck about Minecraft before today. That looks amazing. Literally, it's fucking Jarvis in your house. It's literally a 3D hologram that looks real. Like, I cannot believe, if this technology is to be believed, just imagine what's going to be possible with this.
Well, I like the fact that even they switch to like the regular view. It's like, so we're just seeing him fuck around on a goddamn table. And I was like, what the? Even just with the Minecraft application, basically showing the bare minimum of what you can do with this. I was like, what the fuck? Like this, and then there's Oculus, which I thought was kind of interesting. They talked about Oculus and then went on to HoloLens. Kind of two things that almost kind of
competing, yeah, because there's Oculus, there's HoloLens, and Project Morpheus. I'm throwing my balls in the HoloLens, man. This looks really fucking sick. Although, I just saw some stuff on Oculus Rift. I don't know, that does look pretty bitchin'.
Well, Oculus Rift, Microsoft basically like, yeah, we're working with Valve that you can use Oculus, but they're two different experiences, Oculus and HoloLens, to be fair. They're gonna be two different experiences. But, I'm super excited to see more applications of HoloLens. Like, imagine that. Imagine getting heads-up displays in games in HoloLens. Like,
imagine Mass Effect with all that shit.
That's what I was thinking. Halo as well. Like, here you go. You're actually wearing this visor.
It's going to be so cool. Like, I'm so excited.
It's all of these different companies having all their Oculus Rift, HoloLens, etc. Like, it's one of those things where I just feel very similar to back when it was the Kinect. It's like, oh, they hype it up, and they're like this and this and this, and it's like, this isn't going to end up being as good as they're trying to make it.
Which, notice, there was no Kinect at all mentions today.
Oh, they're done with Kinect,
yeah, it's completely abandoned, which is unfortunate, because I use mine for voice commands all the time.
Well, I only want to use it for voice commands.
You could have that in just your headset. I mean,
yeah, but then I have to wear a headset.
No, yeah, exactly. I like the Kinect. Like, I sit down, hey, Scott, I'm like, oh, okay, it's on. I like it. I don't want to use it for games, though.
Yeah, exactly.
The Kinect, I feel, only is like a accessibility application. Yeah. It's not a gaming interface. Like, HoloLens, that can be both.
See, Kinect makes sense for games like Just Dance and Dance Central, and maybe to a limited extent, Guitar Hero and Rock Band. It's meant for performance games.
Meant for Halo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not meant for even when like Skyrim or Mass Effect. When Skyrim's like, you can say the dragon shouts. I'm like, I'm not gonna play this and do the dragon shouts.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna hit left bumper as opposed to going first row duh if I'm playing at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean?
Too bad you didn't do it loud enough, so yeah. You didn't do the first row duh. Don't you know the other 15 dragon chants?
Exactly.
No, you don't.
Like,
well, not to mention, from practicality's sake, saying first row duh, that takes longer than hitting one button.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
It's not as quote unquote immersive, but it's a fuck of a lot more effective.
But I the Kinect, I just love for its accessibility. That Xbox, actually, I'm not going to say it right now, but my Xbox is on, so I don't want it to do things.
Now, one of the things I do want to mention right now is this was announced during the Sony press conference, and I'm only mentioning this as a point to keep in mind once the show closes. Shenmue 3 was announced via Kickstarter.
You seen its Kickstarter so far?
It was announced an hour ago. It is currently, as of this recording right now, $977,445 with 11,000 backers.
And that was 1 hour ago.
Like, yes. So let's keep that number in mind, folks. When we're done the show, we're going to come back and revisit that number.
it might be done by then.
I'm honestly thinking it is going to be. It's going to be.
I actually need to finish Shenmue 1 now. I bought it when I bought my Dreamcast like 3 or 4 years ago and just haven't put the time into it. I'm gonna go do that.
I'm looking at my copy of Shenmue 2 right now. Another thing that was announced, I think this looks really cool, was Platinum Games, the same people who made Vanquish, Transformers Devastation. It's a G1 Transformers brawler, and it looks fucking amazing. It looks like the cartoon. Like, amazingly so. Like, and it's even using the original G1 designs for Devastator, Bumblebee, Sideswipe, Wheeljack, Prime, Megatron. It even has the purple lasers, which the Decepticons use. And it's a very specific shade of purple. When it explodes, you know it's a Transformers thing.
It's a very specific shade of purple.
It's kind of like how Saints Row, it's a very specific shade of purple. You know that is Saints Row. But yeah, it looks amazing. There's it was leaked this past weekend. There's been a trailer come out since then. It looks pretty kick-ass. All right, so we're going to move on to EA's press conference. So neither of you two seen this, right?
I that's the only one I didn't see because I was doing some stuff. But all right, I watched some of the videos, like Mass Effect. I kind of called that Mass Effect one. It seemed like the time was right for it. A lot of rumors.
I figured we would see something. I'm a little sad we didn't see gameplay. We'll see that next year for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got a release window of holiday 2016. So if they're smart... Next year, it'll come out on November 10th or something. That's what I'm guessing. So yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda takes place in an entirely new galaxy. Most notably, the Andromeda Galaxy. We don't know anything about...
Kevin Sorbo.
So...
Come on, I want Kevin Sorbo to be the voice actor.
They legit were just like, so we don't really know what else to do in the storyline over in this area, so let's just go to a different galaxy.
Yeah, well, I know. Here's my N7 armor. You're like, okay.
I'm kind of excited to see what they can do with this, though, because now they're not bound by any of the rules that were established in our cycle, I guess, versus the Reapers. So I'm curious to see how they're going to set up this new galaxy and whether if any of the DLC will allow you to come back to our galaxy for one or two missions. Well, I would imagine so.
It's kind of a question of, like, is it a spin-off or does it exist in the same, like, actual existence? Because, like, if they're using N7 gear and all that, like, are they linked with the humans in the other solar system or galaxy, right?
My guess is it's kind of like an expeditionary force. It probably takes place a couple hundred years later.
That'd be kind of interesting.
After Shepard, that's what I'm guessing.
That secretly was Shepard. Watch.
Although,
let's call Mark Meer.
One of the things I want to know out of this trailer or out of Mass Effect 4 in general is what ending was canon from Mass Effect 3? What choice mattered?
The one that everyone hated.
So green, I'm guessing? I guess we're just going to have to wait and see until they announce what's what. Now, I've heard some people ask, will your saves from Mass Effect 1, 2, 3 matter because they did help shape the galaxy? Or will it be like Dragon Age Inquisition where your saves, you'll have to go to this thing called the Keep and import the decisions you made, so to speak? So I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen.
I'm guessing we're going different galaxy here, so our stuff's not even going to matter. I don't think people are going to be – you're going to be like, oh, hey, remember when that one guy who did this and he did this shit to the Krogans and this to the Rachni?
I'm guessing those big decisions might matter, but not whether or not you saved Kaden on Vermeier or something.
I really think what's going to matter is going to be your ending kind of thing. That's what's going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Which ending you chose is kind of going to do things. Because you get that big Western vibe. So I wonder if you're like one of the lone kind of people not affected maybe by what happened with the Reapers. Because you got the Ghost Riders in the Sky playing by Johnny Cash there. So you got a Western kind of vibe. So I wonder if you are
setting up
the
forces.
Last kind of N7 and you're like someone who didn't get affected
somehow. Or maybe you're trying to gain humanity's foothold in a new galaxy. And you're like literally that frontiersman. Either way, it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to seeing more about it. The next big game to come out of EA, Need for Speed. Does anybody really care? Cars go vroom. It looks pretty.
I totally don't care.
Yeah, I could give a shit less.
Is it done by Criterion again, or is it doing a different studio? Because if it's Criterion, I will be interested.
Let me take a look. It is.
Because...
It is done by... I'm just trying to see if there's anybody... I don't see a developer on here.
because Criterion, the last one I really played, Need for Speed Most Wanted, that game was so good. Because it basically was...
the movie?
Burnout. No, not the movie. It was basically another Burnout Paradise, but an updated version of it. Because Criterion took a lot of what made Burnout great, because that franchise basically done. So they just went over to Need for Speed.
Another game...
Took all the good stuff.
Another game that was announced, and it's going to be a free expansion, is Star Wars The Old Republic Knights of the Fallen Empire. It looked pretty cool. This was actually a pretty cool trailer, still set in the pre-Republic days. Two brothers, I guess. One goes Jedi, one goes Sith. It's going to be more of an RPG adventure, sort of, as it's been described, as more of a BioWare style of storytelling. So it does look pretty cool. Pretty impressive trailer. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. Then EA yipped about sports for fuck knows how long.
Because that's what EA always does.
They kind of glossed over Madden this year, but they really, really shoved it down your throat on FIFA 16. And it was really annoying as shit. They brought out Pele, one of these amazing soccer players of legend. And this is where the story comes in. Twitch is the most racist place I think I've actually ever seen. Oh my god, the amount of racist comments that were coming out, although I admittedly my favorite one that I saw is, what happened to Bill Cosby? Or, man, Kobe Bryant looks really sick. What's wrong with him? It was terrible. But ultimately, the main thing that confused me about this is they had some guy from EA interviewing Pele, and he's talking about a bicycle for like 10 minutes. Now, I'm drifting in and out of consciousness at this point. I figure, all right, they're talking about sports. I can take a 15-minute nap. And I wake up for the last 5 minutes of this interview, and Pele is waxing philosophical about a bicycle.
You just said Pele was waxing Phil Spencer on a bicycle.
Yes! That, in my fever dream. No. They also showed off more Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. It looks interesting, although I don't know if I agree with the choice to use Danger Zone in their trailer.
My sister, too, she's like, what the fuck is the Danger Zone all of a sudden?
like, okay.
Archer brings it back into our consciousness, and everybody starts using it.
Pretty friggin' much. I'm like, go get him, Archer and Maverick.
There's going to be a homoerotic volleyball scene between the zombies.
I hope so. That would be the world's greatest in-joke.
See, if they did that, that would have been great.
That would have been funny as shit. That I'll totally give you. They also showed off some new face scan technology for NBA Live 16. That looks interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what people are going to do with this. There was one for NBA 2K15. And if you watch Steven Larsson, formerly of Machinima, and their creation, it's nightmare fuel inducing. I thought it was kind of funny. Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Thank God.
I missed the trailer, but I am stoked for some Mirror's Edge.
Best thing to come out of EA's press conference? Battlefront. Vehicles confirmed.
Duh.
Heroes confirmed. Like, watching the Battle on Hoth sequence was so cool. Like, Darth Vader just walks up, grabs one of the kind of rebel soldiers, and there's this huge AT-AT behind him. You can take down the AT-AT, you can fly the snow speeders, you can fly the TIE fighters. It looks amazing. Like, Battlefront looks...
When I was watching part of that, Tiffany's like, it's being made by DICE, and I'm like, who else would do this well?
Like... Come on, like, did she not know it was made by DICE? They've been announcing it since they announced the project.
And the thing is like, legit, who else would do a Battlefront?
What does she think is doing it? LucasArts Games?
I was about to say, of all the first-party shooter developers now, it have to be DICE, because Call of Duty doesn't have vehicles. Battlefield's the only one outside of, I think, Company of Heroes. Not even that.
Well, and the Frostbite engine they're using too, though, for destructibility.
Yeah, like it looks amazing, and this everything you can do. Holy shit! I can't wait to play it.
I think it was a good choice to go with DICE.
Oh yeah,
oh for sure. I mean, and like, it's one of the closest games to how Battlefield is. So I mean,
exactly. It pretty much like I remember even referring to it as Star Wars Battlefield. a few times because it's like that's exactly what it felt like. I like that's not even a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Oh yeah. The next press conference that happened today was the Ubisoft one. The big thing that came out of this one for me was the surprise announcement of South Park Fractured But Whole, which is a sequel to The Stick of Truth.
Wow. I
didn't read it like that either.
Oh my God.
Fractured Butthole.
It looks amazing. Like, shit. It's
that is the greatest game. I can't wait to say Xbox, start Fractured Butthole.
I mean, it looks really freaking cool, and I didn't expect them to go down the, like, superhero route, and you know they're going to reference shit like the Avengers, Age of Ultron, Batman, and all that. It's going to be really fucking sick. I can't wait to see who the final boss is going to be.
We all had way too much fun with the Stick of Truth, we're definitely buying this one.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, they say it's going to come out next year. I am hoping summer 2016. I would love for them to say, oh, by the way, it's out now in stores at, like, E3. Like, go buy it tomorrow. But, yeah, it looks legit. We saw stuff
like Fallout Shelter.
We saw Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which looks really good, happening in 19th century London, more modern
era. Not enough Cockney.
So far. With expansions and DLC, there'll be more Cockney limey fights.
oh, you go, snipe. Okay. You give me a posy off. Slap you across the face. Give me some of mama's milk. Come on, put them up.
Rainbow Six Siege looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good, but at the same time, it still doesn't entirely feel like Rainbow Six.
I'm not super hyped about it, but I am. But I do want to play it.
Could you tell the difference between Rainbow Six Siege and fucking Ghost Recon? Because I sure as hell couldn't.
Ghost Recon, that surprised me.
Oh.
It looks like Grand Theft Auto Tactical. I'm impressed that Ghost Recon Wildlands, I'm actually legit really excited for.
Even the Division, I'm like...
That surprised me how much... I think I may have fun with that. I liked how during the live gameplay demo, the one guy they were working with says, "Nah, fuck you guys," and kills them both. And takes their stuff and runs.
Says DayZ.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing many, many people troll that game. I think that'll be kind of fun.
Well, the genre of, like, the survivalist kind of game has been getting really big over the last year or two. And, I mean, now, like, with Ark coming out and Division going to be coming out, like, everybody's just jumping on it.
Yeah.
It's becoming oversaturated now.
Yeah.
I'm hopefully going to get into the beta for it. I do want to try it, so it does look cool. Another game that was announced, it's basically Ubisoft's version of Dynasty Warriors, For Honor. Yay, I guess. It's basically Vikings, Knights, Samurais, and I don't know who else. More medieval people just kicking the shit out of each other.
More medieval people.
People with swords. There was an expansion for The Crew, which I guess adds motorcycles and monster trucks.
Yay.
Whoopie-doo. Trials Fusion, which has the most confusing trailer of all time. It's called Trials Fusion Awesome Max Level or something. And it has a golden cat flaming, riding a unicorn that shoots lasers.
As
fun as that sounds, I don't care.
All right, Dodd. We're all dying to get to Sony.
Yes.
We're done with all this other crap.
We're done. Yeah,
there's too much excitement.
There was too much excitement.
I was bored by Sony's.
He's fucking with you.
I did not give a fuck about anything there.
Even Final Fantasy.
Like three fucking exclusives. I was like, I'll play it. It's not even exclusive, so I was like, okay. Like, there's like nothing exclusive for fucking Sony.
I was honestly surprised that they dated Last Guardian. Because everybody makes fun of that.
Yeah, I know. And they're like, finally. I messaged my friend. I'm like, hey, it ain't a Sony E3 conference without The Last Guardian.
The fact that it was dated impressed me. I was really surprised by that. And they started out the conference like that. So you knew they wanted to get your attention. Because I think me and Jamie had talked about this before on previous shows. Saying, well, what's Sony going to show this year? Fuck if I know. We had no clue. And for them to come out with The Last Guardian, all right, You are here to play. Good job. Now you got to catch up to Microsoft and Nintendo. What else you got?
See, as few exclusives that they actually showed, all of the games that they did show, though, they showed it. It wasn't Xbox that showed it, so it was...
But they showed it. It means, but I can play it on Xbox. I don't need to go buy a PS4 to play it.
Yeah,
that's the thing,
but
though. Exclusivity is why you care.
Almost all
opinion.
Of them, though, they either have exclusive content, whether it be DLC
or
some
beta,
of them
like
well,
cares?
One of them, I can't remember which game it was. It was a month early early, like you get it on PS4 a month earlier than Xbox.
Star Wars.
No, that was Star
Infinity.
Wars Infinity that I get to play a DLC a month before. But it's Infinity. It's like it's not something big. They finally got the Call of Duty license of exclusivity. Like after Microsoft gave it up after like 8 years, but like
that'll
still.
Be surprising. I'll be very curious to see how that kind of plays out, especially from the kind of like esports scene of it, because a lot of esports players, as far as I understand,
play on Xbox. Yeah,
yeah. Like we like that controller. So I don't know. I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. Sony announced this game from Guerrilla Games, the guys who do Killzone. I'm excited for this. It's called Horizon Zero Dawn.
That looked pretty neat. I have
Robot
to admit,
dinosaurs.
That one looked pretty cool. It looked like Metal Gear Rex. I thought it was like a new Monster Hunter game, you know? Metal Gear Hunter from Capcom.
I liked... the thing that really impressed me about it was the art design.
Yeah.
It looked so fucking cool. And the fact that you play this... like cave woman with like these techno arrows or whatever, and then can use randomly a chain gun.
Considering for the last like week and a half, I've been running away from regular T-Rexes. That was terrifying to me because I was just like, oh my God, what if Art sees this and is like, hey, let's make all of the dinosaurs metal and then we're really screwed.
Well, then you're fighting Dinobots. another thing that was announced was a new Hitman. Okay. Why not? The Hitman games are fun. So I'm okay with that.
The last one was really good.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Street Fighter V is a PlayStation 4 exclusive with two characters announced tonight, with Cammy and Birdie. I would have much rather seen new characters tonight instead of...
I know, because they're like new characters. It says new characters join the fight, and then it showed Cammy in that. I'm like, pretty sure Cammy's been around a while, guys.
Yeah, like since Super Street Fighter 2, so fuck off. And Birdie, not since I think Street Fighter Alpha 2, I think.
Street Fighter V being exclusive to Sony now,
that's
a pretty
big
change.
That is. That's a very big change. And that's reflective of, I think, the fighting game community. I think a lot of people like just prefer playing on PlayStation for that.
That, along with what happened at Nintendo, Ryu going on Smash Bros., really confuses me. It's like, how does they become exclusive for Sony and they're giving up Ryu to Smash Bros.?
Hey, quick announcement here. I was just on my Xbox, and I just got into the Gears of War Ultimate Edition beta.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out when I get up.
Well, then.
Well, I guess I know what we're doing tonight.
Yeah, hey, man.
Did you have to do anything specific for it?
No, I just was talking on Skype, and it's like, message, you were chosen. I was like, fucking A. Alrighty.
Another game, or this, I guess it's not so much a game, it's like an art game. Dreams. And
that
somebody
me the fuck out.
Someone put
kinda
this
like a development tool.
Someone put this on Twitter really, really perfectly. You know what's going to happen in this game, right?
Dicks.
Exactly. Dicks. Giant dicks. Think of that scene in Superbad where Jonah Hill's talking about drawing big baby cocks.
His Ghostbuster lunchbox.
That's what this is going to end up as. You're going to have piano playing cocks flying through space shooting laser cum.
Wait. Okay, just think about the guy that was sitting there playing the piano, and he explodes into birds. Well, just think of a dick playing a piano.
Exactly.
And he explodes into semen.
That's what's going to happen. But
that
it
was
looks
like
cool, though.
One of my acid-induced dreams, and I've never even done acid. I was watching this. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so, it was so, what's it called? Uncanny, kind of like
well,
weird.
That's why it's called Dreams.
I know, but I mean, I was like, what the fuck?
Now, it would be awesome if they do release an expansion for it and just call it Nightmares. Yeah, yeah. Dude, that's perfect. It virtually sells itself. next one.
Lucid. Just different dream states.
I kind of care about this. I wonder how much it's going to cost. Destiny, the Taken King.
People still play that game?
People still play it.
Apparently.
House of Wolves.
I heard, you know, it died in the first week.
No, there are still people playing it because there was the House of Wolves and the Vault of Glass. Or I can't remember what the two expansions are called. But
House of the Wolf and something glass.
Yeah. So those have just come out.
One of the biggest Bungie fanboys in that game. I just didn't even buy it.
It's been overhauled quite a bit since.
Oh, yeah?
From what I understand, it's a lot better now than what it was. I actually may go back and play it during the summer just because I might take a month off from doing topic shows so I can, you know, prepare for Con Bravo. But anyway. So, yeah, there's that. That comes out. That looks pretty cool. I'm glad that Sony has a different first-party shooter-ish for them that gets exclusive content besides Call of Duty. Another one that we saw, I don't know much about this one, a game called Firewatch. I guess you're some park
Forest Ranger.
Ranger
Simulator 2015.
There was... See, I kind of was... I was hoping this would be that horror game where you're basically fighting Jason at a summer camp. I was kind of hoping that's what it was going to be, but no.
It was really confusing because at first you're like, oh, is it some sort of adventure game, a survival game? And then, like, each of them have a watchtower and they're like, are they legit forest rangers watching for fires?
It's going to be Lost.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many questions around that teaser trailer. It's got me curious.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be something a little bit different. Now, obviously, we have to talk about the big elephant in the room. Final Fantasy VII.
I'm done. E3's over.
I was honestly surprised. Because someone also on Twitter described this as... It's like someone writing fan fiction directed E3 this year. Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII, and Shenmue 3 in the same press conference. You could put that on a lottery ticket and you would never have guessed it.
See, Shenmue 3 was the biggest surprise to me. No one would even have guessed Shenmue anything. That anyone was even going to talk about Shenmue ever again. When they were showing, hey, we're talking about a Kickstarter for this new game. Going back to an old game. I'm like, oh... what could it be? I was wondering. And Shenmue was the last thing. That was, like, even behind, like, a sequel to E.T. on the Atari 2600. I would have guessed that before Shenmue.
Yeah, I certainly didn't see it coming. And the fact that it was a Kickstarter, that surprised me.
Well, do you want to know an update on it, or do you want to wait?
We'll wait until the end of the episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think
I'm watching it as we talk.
Nuts.
It's interesting because we've talked about this many times on the prototype about how if Square Enix ever got in trouble, all they have to do is pour the remaining amount of money they have into a Final Fantasy VII remake. Square Enix is in no way, shape, or form anywhere near being hurt. Like,
not anymore.
They're in a good spot already, and announcing this, literally, like, when I started watching that teaser, I immediately, the music, little tiny audio cues, the types of background, everything. I just immediately, I muted my TeamSpeak, my Ventrilo servers. I exited out of Arc.
I told Blair to shut the fuck up for
a minute. I was just like, whoa. And like, I was just floored because I was like, there's no reason they need to do this, but oh my God, they're doing it. And like, the internet,
it broke
most
Twitter
of the
for
internet,
about 5 minutes.
Yeah, Twitter was exploding. And, like, the chat that I was watching for the stream, they were just exploding with, like, excitement. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, this is another tech demo or something.
Now, a press release just came out 20 minutes ago about this. And it says, and I read, Square Enix just sent out an official press release announcing they've, in quotation marks, begun production on the remake. This may not be coming for quite some time.
Oh, man.
My guess is 3 years.
I was wondering what, like, I noticed how, like, that little teaser was so short and so vague, like, they didn't have much done. So I guess that just kind of confirms it, that they were like, hey, we're doing it, guys.
I just assume there are leftover assets from, like, Advent Children.
I was like, oh, new movie.
Ooh. But still, I mean, I'm excited they're doing it. I think this is going to make Square Enix look really nice to the fans. Now, if they want to impress me next year, give me a proper sequel to Chrono Trigger.
Well, The one thing,
or give
that,
me a release date next year of when this is coming out.
The one thing that really, really like matters about this is they said it's a remake. We know the difference between a remake and a remaster. Are they going to change this game a lot? Is it going to end up sucking because of that?
I didn't think it. What if they're going to do it in the Final Fantasy 15 engine?
That's what a lot of people are like talking about. They're like, is it going to be the 15 kind of style?
I would play that because 15 is actually the first Final Fantasy game I look interested in because it's like battles that just go on. You don't have to go. It's like, oh, I'm fighting this guy. I'm just going to walk away now. I'm done. I'm like, yes.
Like, there's a large portion of the population that's like, we don't want turn-based battles again. Me, myself, I would love either or. If they went back to the traditional turn-based battle, there is a there's a lack of games that are actually doing that style, except for indie games. And those games are selling like crazy because it's the only ones with it. Like, people want that nostalgia, but they have so many directions they could go with that. And it's either going to piss off everybody or just be amazing.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Cade Sith in 1080p.
Ooh,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I love Cade Sith.
What about Tifa? Tifa with, you know...
Yuffie. I loved using Yuffie in those games. I'm looking forward to see how much they change the storyline and whether there's an option. Can you save Aeris and will the game change?
Honestly, I don't know if they'll really change the storyline that much. They might make it deeper.
They'll
and
probably
go
update
it more. But like, if they change it too much, they'll have a revolt on the internet.
But just imagine though, if it was two separate endings, if you save Aeris, the game changes completely differently. Imagine
well,
the possibilities
then,
or something.
Then
like
it
that.
Would kind of cause the lore of like their movie, like Advent Children, and everything to not really exist properly. So I don't know. I don't know what they'll do.
Yeah, sorry, Scott, you're fucking evil.
What'd you do?
He sent me messages on Facebook, and he's a jackass. But yeah, honestly, that was a big surprise to me because, like I said, I still think this was Square's attempt to get back in good with the general public. Because, Jamie, as much as I love you, I don't think you're objective when it comes to them. But this was a big step.
I'm the biggest Square Enix fanboy. They can't do no wrong by me.
Yeah, this is a big step forward into them saying, all right, guys, we're ready to listen to you. Or, oh, shit, we're in trouble. This is our trump card, which it truly is. This is going to be a big thing for them. I can't wait to see what sales – I want to see what pre-order numbers are going to be like on this.
They're really not in trouble, though. Like, they bought out Eidos, so, like, they have Tomb Raider, they got the Batman games, they got... Like, it's all underneath them. They're not in trouble. Their name for RPGs has been kind of slashed, like, over the last couple of years, but everybody that's looked at Final Fantasy 15, like, everyone's hopes are high for that. I mean, mine are definitely high. I hope they don't screw it up.
We'll have to wait and see, ultimately. Finally, coming out of the Sony press conference, Shenmue 3, and this will be the update for the episode. Since I last mentioned this, probably about 15 minutes ago, it is currently now over $1.1 million.
$150,000 in the time we were talking.
This literally will be funded by like 2 a.m., probably.
I wonder if they have stretch goals on here.
Oh, my God. Probably not yet, but given time.
They will. They'll be like, oh, shit, people really want this game.
Guys, they gave us $10 million. What do we do? Disneyland! I don't know.
You know, it's really funny. Anytime any of these developers, like for Mighty No. 9 and like Shenmue 3, like people that the general populace know will make a good game, they always get the money really quick. It's like, I don't know why more companies don't do this. Because not generally for the money. It's more of a getting to see how many people actually want the game to be made.
Now, one of the things I think is kind of funny, there are three Kickstarter reward levels at $10,000. They're all gone. Yep. And the guy, someone got Ryo's jacket. That was gone in the first 10 minutes this was up.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was gone quick.
I did go on the first 10 minutes, and it was still there. Okay, so yeah, you're right. I was I saw it when it was at $50,000 and it wasn't gone yet. Like that's a long fucking time ago. Oh my god, $50,000.
I know, it seems like cheap. Like, this is going to shatter the Veronica Mars records. It's going to shatter a lot of Kickstarter records, like, by tomorrow morning. Kickstarter's good. Man, they're going to be so happy.
Oh, we know estimation for delivery.
When?
December 2017 is when release is estimated.
I hope so.
That's what it says down, estimated delivery. So that's the closest we have to an actual release date.
My guess is it'll probably delay it by a few months, and you'll see it premiere on at E3, and it'll be available the next day. Kind of like how, like, think The Last of Us was or something. But
one of the funny things here, though, is the only physical copy you'll get is a PC physical copy. There's no PS4 physical. It's only digital as part of this Kickstarter.
Yeah, so I guess...
That might update, though.
Yeah, honestly...
It was the same with Mighty No. 9. They were like, okay, we'll give you a PC digital version, and then eventually they just exploded, and they're like, okay, we're going to push for every console.
Well, I think it comes down to, because a lot of console things physically, because I know for Microsoft and so, that's why kind of games are a bit more expensive on consoles, are the licensing fees for that console, which is, I think, why they're not offering a physical copy. Yet, unless they work something with Sony where they can do that without screwing over their budget.
And then finally, the big thing to come out about this, because we've already talked about Call of Duties, and it just gets the DLC first. It looks cool. I'm excited, so whatever.
Actually, interestingly enough, if you read through them, it's only PC and PS4.
For what?
For Shenmue. Doesn't say anything about, like, Xbox won't get it.
Nope.
Hmm.
Which is funny because Shenmue 2 was like, what, Xbox when it came to North America, which is kind of funny.
Uncharted 4. Not surprising, obviously. We knew this was a long time coming.
I like that demo break.
I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, that's the only technical derp of the entire day that I remember, other than EA stream crashing for like a couple seconds. But yeah, looks legit.
I don't even think that was the demo actually breaking. I think that was the controller not interacting properly, so
it's hilarious,
they had to restart it for it to actually run.
That's what I think it was.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely funny.
But it's still a good bug.
I was like, why was Nathan Drake just kind of hanging out for a couple seconds?
I thought they were doing it for suspense.
I thought the guy just ran away quickly. He's like, ah, fuck you. I was like, oh, shit, what an asshole. He just
Sully, come back here.
The game's not working.
Oh. But, overall, so far... All of the big companies and all the big publishers have had a really good show. The only loser today is probably EA. I mean, it's not that they didn't show good stuff. Just theirs was the least exciting in a lot of ways. We didn't see a whole lot of actual gameplay outside of, say, Star Wars, really. And some of their other little things. I think Microsoft did a fantastic job because, like I said, that backwards compatibility thing... That's a punch in the face to PlayStation's
streaming service.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why am I going to pay for it? I can just take the disc and walk away. So Sony's got to play catch up there. One thing I did notice about today, the Vita got mentioned once, and that was bundled with the Final Fantasy Worlds announcement, I guess it was.
The Worlds of Final Fantasy.
And they didn't even announce it by name.
Yeah, they're like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was just on screen. So, and he's like, blah, 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 and Vita. what? What was that? I guess it's not a complete legacy platform yet, but we'll see what happens yet. So I guess let's kind of go around the table here. Scotty, how would you rate each of the press conferences that you saw today?
Well, the ones I saw today, well, I'd have to say, like, obviously, my opinion, like, how I game, I guess you consider it by it, but I felt Microsoft brought the most, in my personal opinion, for what I'm interested in and what I look forward to. And what would the other one say? Yeah, I saw Ubisoft and Sony. I think, I don't know, like, Ubisoft, I wasn't like, holy cow, look at all this crazy shit. Nothing really was like, whoa, didn't expect that. I'm still kind of impressed over that whole Shenmue thing. That's actually, like, the biggest surprise of the day, in my opinion, from Sony was Shenmue.
All right, Jamie, what about you?
I mean, like, with Xbox, I'm kind of with Scotty on the whole. Like, when it comes to the things that I will play, Gears of War, Halo, like, Xbox, you got it on that one. You got the exclusives. That's why I have an Xbox. When it comes to the Sony conference, it's the same thing. They they're delivering on the things that I want. Final Fantasy VII absolutely floored me. Like, I have not jumped up and been like, holy crap, in forever for an E3. And, like, I would never have expected Shenmue to be getting a Kickstarter. It's just so, like, left field. But everything that I've seen from E3 so far, it's like, holy crap, this is going to be an expensive next year or two.
I know. After I watched Microsoft, every game that came up, I was like, please, 2016, 2016, 2016. Yeah. After like, Fallout, I was like, shit, Fallout and Halo are like within a week of each other. And there's Battlefront. I'm like, oh, Fallout is like the one thing I need.
It's almost one of those ones where, like, the last couple of E3s were always like, oh, well, this game's going to be good, and this game, it's like, I'll buy that. But this time, it's like, I want everything. I'm just not going to have enough money or time.
So,
what do you think?
Honestly, I think this, you know what, it is not often where I'm legit happy to be a part of the gaming industry, because normally, something's beating down our door, or something sucks. For the last 48 hours, or the last 36, we'll say, it's been really good. I'm really happy in almost every single game that was announced. The only thing I would have wished today, two things didn't get announced for me today. Titanfall 2 is not there in any shape or form, confirmed, and there was no Splinter Cell announced. Other than that, I'm, like I said, so happy. It's
speaking
a good
of Splinter
time.
Cell... I just want to throw it. Did I ever tell you the funny story that happened to me at the Splinter Cell Blacklist press event?
No.
Okay. So just because you mentioned Splinter Cell, and I actually think this is a really funny story. I didn't know it was a launch party. I thought it was a preview event.
Wow.
So, well, Mike didn't know either because we were talking about it. He's like, oh, it's just like a press event, like a preview event. I'm like, okay, whatever. Neither of us knew, like, wasn't told. I guess emails or whatever, but so I go there. I'm like, okay, you know, nothing, not dressed particularly fancy or whatever. I go in there, there's people like all dressed up, like dresses, nice ties and stuff. I'm in there, like fucking rugby jersey on, like shorts, Ghostbuster backpack, just looking around. I'm like, oh shit, what's going on here? Okay, well, maybe I should be dressed fancier. I got interviewed by one of the actual people who were there to like talk about the game with somebody, thinking I was a dev team member because I was dressed in normal clothes.
Tell you made shit up.
No, because I thought she was legitimately asking me questions about what makes the Splinter Cell game different than the others. So I was talking to her and explaining to her about what I feel makes a difference for my time playing. And then she asked for my name. And after I got up and I grabbed a beer, I realized she thought I was a dev team member.
You should see if your interview's out there somewhere.
I've been thinking about it.
I'm curious.
That's awesome.
Scotty Bordas, the unofficial member of the Splinter Cell dev team.
Yeah, some website out Toronto. There has a horrible review on the game now because they have no, like, had you even checked out the game yet? Like,
I was actually playing it. I was sitting down playing it. No one else was playing it. Then she just camped beside me. And she's like, oh, okay. So what's different about this Splinter Cell game? And I'm like, oh, well, compared to the last ones here, if you're looking at this, like, this has happened story-wise. So I felt like I was giving a genuine thing. I was like, yo. Because then I saw Erica after, and I was like, she thought I was a dev team member.
Jesus awesome. Christ. So anyway, guys, that's our day one coverage for E3. We'll be back tomorrow night around this time, give or take, and we'll give you our thoughts. So we got Nintendo coming up tomorrow. Square Enix has some stuff coming up, plus a bunch of other...
AMD. Surprisingly enough, and we'll watch that.
I'm calling Half-Life 3 tomorrow. Calling it right
now. Yeah?
I think I'm calling
the internet will break if that's announced.
Then again, we got Shenmue 3 today.
Let's not get greedy.
No, but I mean the fact that we got Shenmue 3.
He's saying dreams could happen.
Dreams could happen. Yes. Dream big, guys. We could have Half-Life 3 tomorrow confirmed. At which point,
again,
there's
rumors a new Valve engine, and that seems to be what Valve does. Just saying.
If Half-Life 3 is announced tomorrow, there might not be an episode tomorrow because the internet will be broken.
Pretty fucking much. Honestly, if Half-Life 3 happens, Twitter will go down for at least an hour.
Probably.
And Facebook will break.
Gaben will have to go into his Fallout bunker.
Oh my god, it's going to be amazing if this happens tomorrow. So like I said, guys, it's a good time to be a gamer. If you're on Xbox One, go out there. If you're a preview member, try some of the games that are backwards compatible. Hopefully you're in the Gears of War beta. I hope I am. I haven't checked yet. So we will hopefully find out. So
and Shenmue's got 33,000 more dollars since we last told you.
Yeah, 1.1...
That was like 5 minutes.
I know.
Exactly.
It's fucking astounding. Like I said, this will be funded in like the next hour and a half. So anyway, guys, until next time, we have been...
Scatty-Doo!
Jamie J.J. Johnston.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I'll see you guys tomorrow on the show floor at E3.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life. Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.